Welcome to Leadership Raccoon, where we overcome the barriers to leadership the cunning way. Today we're talking about what it takes to lead people, and specifically we're looking at a couple of our elements. We're looking at sharing knowledge and resources and enabling our employees by removing barriers. So again, let me just quickly touch on the elements. So when I say elements, we have our periodic table of elements, which is found on theleadershipraccoon.com. Click in, you can check it out. It's a whole periodic table dedicated to the elements of leadership. So in our row today, we're hitting on two under lead people. So Mike, when it comes to sharing knowledge and resources, this is something that's kind of near and dear to my heart, and I think has really exploded in the last few years with cloud computing, and the ability to share knowledge and knowledge management has really grown recently. But from your perspective, and when you write about and talk about sharing knowledge and resources, what are you referring to?
Well, I'm not thinking so much of do they have their desk, do they have their computer. I mean, that's usually a given. Mm-hmm. But it's things beyond that. And if you think about the old way was knowledge is power if you have it. Today, knowledge is power if you dispense it, if you pass it along. Very, very different outlook, very different approach to what knowledge is. We are all knowledge workers. Probably most of the people that are listening in are knowledge workers. So it's the coin of the realm. The interesting thing, I think, is if you are in a leadership role and if you share knowledge with somebody, again, we're going back to that law of reciprocity. Think of that as a gift you're giving somebody else. Mm-hmm. Not only are you helping them do their job better by sharing the knowledge, you're building trust between you and that person.
Building a little equity.
Absolutely, absolutely vital. So it's an important part of both building trust and really helping somebody else do their job better.
Right. I think some cultures can be kind of defined by this. I had a job at one of the Big Four consulting, and when I got there, people told me, they said, you need to figure out everything on your own because no one's sharing anything with you. And I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't understand. But then after a couple of years, I learned people felt like in order to move up the chain, they need to control information and only share it if it was absolutely like you had to. Like we had to get a proposal done. Okay, here's something you can use that'll help you. But people were very protective of information and resources because they used it as a kind of a personal thing where they would be able to grow
right
with it. And if I shared it, well, now you have the information. Now you're going to grow faster than me, or you're going to grow ahead of me. And I never got that. I just never understood that mentality. But is that you see that in other organizations?
Oh yeah, that was the that was the old model basically.
Yeah,
that was deeply held, and that's why when Jack Welch, for example, came to GE decades ago, one of his mantras was something he called boundarylessness. Mm-hmm. Horrible word, boundarylessness. But that's what he was talking about, is if you work for GE and somebody calls from over here, you will help them, you will share knowledge. And I can remember I worked for him for almost 9 years, but I would have to pick up the phone because I was doing investing, some of the pension monies, and invariably it'd be in some industry I didn't know anything about, but GE was so big it probably had experts in-house, no matter who I called, and it would be 2, 3, 4 calls a day in GE, those people would always help me share information. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, it was because Welch was a tough guy,
yeah.
Right? Not, I don't view him as a great leader. He was probably the world's best manager. Mm. But still, he kept on and on and on. He changed that culture so that knowledge was shared much more easily across all those boundaries.
So if you went to someone and they weren't sharing with you, that person would kind of be exposed and that would not be acceptable behavior.
He actually fired people who didn't share information.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He would, every year they did intense ratings and he'd cut off the bottom 7-9%.
That's right. That was part of his new It was a new paradigm, right?
So what that did, it meant that a lot of the management cadre back then were type A people, really go-getters, and looking over their shoulder, too, at the...
Yeah, not wanting to share. I know. I view it as, you know, if the organization is improving, let's say, or the team, even if it's my peers, if I'm helping them, one, I'm getting equity, and two, hopefully I'm helping everyone improve.
Right.
And I don't see negative consequences to that when it comes to sharing. I want people to know what's out there. I want them to use it. I want them to share it. Because if we're all growing, especially if I'm a leader and it's for my team, why would you not want to make sure everyone has the resources to do their job? Because if they're performing at a high level, it's only going to pump you up. I think some managers view it as, wow, they're going to move up past me. No. If they're growing and they're improving, you should grow with them.
Well, absolutely. And because when you're sharing the knowledge, what they'll do invariably is use that knowledge, come up with new insights, they share back to you, right? You're trading. Mm-hmm. Now you're in a better position than you were because mm-hmm. you've got an even better understanding of all the issues and so forth. And the last thing I'll say on this is, again, safety sort of goes along with this. It's unstated, but think about this. How do you share knowledge? Well, there will be employees who may not look like they want to take it in, or they may not think they want knowledge, and it might be a little bit of fear-based. So what you really want to do is make sure when you have an open-door policy, it's a real open-door policy. That people are actually coming through, mm-hmm. and that's a good sign that their fear is out of the system. They'll be much more receptive to ideas because you're offering it to them not to preach, not to teach, mm-hmm. but to share. But that's an important thing about employee mindset. I used to have a boss, Jim Gosler, who extraordinarily busy position. He was a fellow at Sandia National Lab, and he would. Set his open door policy was any time, but at 5 o'clock, he made sure everybody knew anybody five levels below him could walk in that door after 5 o'clock and rap about anything. You want to talk sports? Go see Jim 5 o'clock. You want to talk about the super advanced strategy for where we're going to go? You go talk to Jim at 5 o'clock. And by golly, he was always there. Never bite people's heads off. Of course, the 5 o'clock filtered out a lot of people that didn't want to work late, maybe, right? But it wasn't that interesting that he set that up, and he always shared knowledge in those sessions. You always walked out with more than what you walked in with. Mm-hmm. So it's a really powerful tool.